Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, February 19, 2018. The South Sudan government and the opposition parties continue to blame each other after meeting for 2 weeks.
You know, the idea of revitalization is to include everybody into the implementation of the agreement. How do you include? Well, you include by creating positions and by actually expanding the government so that everybody is involved. But if you say you are going to exclude some people who are actually in the government now, then it will not be inclusion.
And church leaders add their voices to the search for peace in South Sudan.
So you can see the charity God is driving us to understand. Many of us are already going hungry. Many of us are going hungry. You go to work, no salary. You receive the salary, it is not matching the market.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some Catholic Church leaders in Juba say they are disappointed with the outcome of negotiations at the high-level revitalization forum, which ended on Friday without a peace deal. Bishop Santo Laco Pio says the country's leaders must accept they have made mistakes. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Nairobi, Kenya.
Speaking in Arabic, Father Joseph Jangara told the congregation Sunday at St. Teresa Cathedral in Juba that the country's leaders are ignoring the effects of the conflict on the people.
If you have seen the suffering of your people, you have seen them hungry, thirsty, lacking transport, have no medicine and are always dying in Juba, let alone those outside the country, you have seen all this and you pity them. You don't bring them peace because of your power and positions.
Father Jangara says South Sudan's leaders should get serious about restoring peace.
I hear that they are returning to Addis in 2 weeks' time. And if they are listening to this sermon, we want them to bring us peace and leave the rest. What we need is peace. You forget the issues of power and positions.
2 weeks ago, youth leaders organized a peaceful demonstration to protest against the United States for imposing arms restrictions on South Sudan. Father Jangara says people should be protesting against South Sudanese killing each other, not the U.S. arms restrictions. Santo Laco Pio is the auxiliary bishop of the Juba Diocese. He says the actions of South Sudan's leaders have displaced millions of people. He says when peace finally comes, people should be held accountable for their crimes.
You take money from South Sudan to build a house in Australia. Now, the government of Australia is saying, where did you get the money? If you build here or you build in Wau, in Malakali, in Rumbek, nobody will ask you, how much are you earning? What is your salary? How did you come to get this house? And so on. Nobody will ask you this question. You go to build in Australia, be prepared to go to court to answer questions.
Bishop Laco says South Sudanese have suffered for far too long. He praised aid workers for providing life-saving assistance to the vulnerable.
If it is not because of the generosity of others, many of us would have not been alive today. There are so many generous people among us in this country. There are so many other generous people among us who came from other countries, risking their lives, coming here to help us. So you can see the charity God is driving us to understand. Many of us are already going hungry. Many of us are going hungry. You go to work, no salary. You receive the salary, it is not matching the market.
Both Father Jangara and Bishop Laco are calling on South Sudanese across the country to pray and fast for peace ahead of the next phase of the high-level revitalization forum, which is expected to convene in March. Pope Francis has set February 23rd as a day for prayers for peace in Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Nairobi.
Civil society activists say they are not happy with the failure of the warring parties to reach a deal. The activists are calling on the African Union to do more to steer the peace process to a successful outcome. Wake Simon Wudu has the story for VOA from Juba.
Susie William is the leader of the non-profit National Alliance for Women Lawyers. She says as long as South Sudanese leaders focus on personal gains and fail to bring peace to the country, the people will continue to suffer.
Power sharing is not going to help us as South Sudanese because we are the suffering one. The women, children, and young people are the one dying. So I really call upon the two parties to look into this and at least put their interests aside because South Sudan is more bigger than their interests.
William says the failure by the parties to sign a deal at the end of phase two of the peace talks shows that IGAD and other bodies overseeing the high-level forum need to exert more pressure on the warring parties.
I would also want other bigger body like the African Union maybe to take over the discussion, and then maybe the IGAD and other parties who are mediating the peace talk should be at the table, but not on the focal point.
William says she still has hope the warring parties can reach an agreement in the third round of talks. Wani Michael is executive director of a youth organization called the OK Foundation and was amongst the civil society team participating in the talks. Michael says the government and opposition parties sought what he calls lack of political will to compromise for the sake of peace.
We must have primitive measures because people have been spoiling the agreement, but they have been going without being punishable. So we are saying, look, if you have been identified beyond reasonable doubt that you have violated the agreement, you must be punished, whether within South Sudan or even outside South Sudan.
The government team refused to sign a declaration of principles document that includes a provision for punishing the spoilers of peace. Alimure Ali Awoda, another South Sudanese activist, says he has mixed feelings about the outcome of phase two of the talks.
Because we had already put in our mind that a peace deal was going to be reached by 17th. So people were already eagerly waiting for the breaking news. Unfortunately, when the breaking news turned to be negative, it affected me.
Awuda agrees that mediators must put more pressure on the parties so that they negotiate in good faith.
The TRICA and IGAD this time should identify people who are not very serious in bringing this peace forward. There should be some targeted sanctions to people who are trying their best to block this peace. Because once they are sanctioned, and indeed real sanction, not just announcement on sanctions are not effected, sanctions that are effected so that it will bar the other ones who are thinking the same from, you know, disorganizing the peace process.
The parties failed to agree on structures of governance for the country during a transitional period as well as the size of parliament. They also disagreed on the number of states in South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on peace issues, South Sudan's civil society and opposition groups have rejected a government proposal in the revitalization process that protects President Salva Kiir and his two deputies to maintain their positions in a transitional government. Opposition groups say the proposal demonstrates that the government is unwilling to stop the ongoing conflict. But South Sudan Petroleum Minister Ezekiel Gathkwop, who was part of the government's negotiation team, told VOA's Peter Cloti one of the aims of the proposal is to bring peace to all South Sudanese.
And what we are proposing is that since we are coming to implement the agreement, all of us together, and everybody must be included, is one, we must make sure that the president, President Salva Kiir, first vice president Taban Dengai, and then vice president James Wanyika remain intact because we have a harmonious president working together. Then we are proposing that there are four positions that we need to create. Assistance to the President of the Republic. And these positions can be divided between the opposition and the transitional government of national unity.
But Ezekiel, from the proposal I'm saying the government appears not to be making any concessions at all to bring on board. It's like relegating other opposition groups to the background, irrespective of this revitalization process. Basically, the government wants to eat its cake and have it.
You know, the idea of revitalization is to include everybody into the implementation of the agreement. How do you include? Well, you include by creating positions and by actually expanding the government so that everybody is involved. But if you say you are going to exclude some people who are actually in the government now, then it will not be inclusion. So the inclusivity, which is actually the base of the revitalization, will not be realized. So you maintain what is there now. And then you bring others on board by expanding the government.
If you have the top positions already occupied, with the government insisting that it already has a harmonious leadership, then what is the point of the revitalization process? You have Dr. Riek Machar, the former first vice president, who has been relegated, the government demanding that he renounces violence, else he will not even be allowed to come into the country. Some of these things are exclusion and not in the narrative that the government is proposing.
You know, peace agreements worldwide, they are not tied to individuals. They are not tied to individuals. We had an agreement in 2005, and John Grant Parson, unfortunately, and Salva Kiir became the leader, and we continue implementing. If Riek Machar is actually not in the process of implementing the agreement, Abande Gaye has been elected by the SPLM in opposition. He is now implementing the agreement. Those who are out, Riek can wait for the election. But those who are following Riek Machar can actually be involved by bringing them on board, participate in the implementation of the agreement, go for election. If Riek Machar is very popular, then he will actually run for election and then he will be elected. But I'm afraid his popularity has diminished. If he's going to challenge President Salva Kiir, he'll actually speaking even over 90%.
Now, you also have a case of James Gadet, the former spokesman of the SPLM-IO. There are speculations that the president will pardon him and claim that he's a man of the people, a man of peace, and then release him. And this is all a charade. There appears to be no commitment, no political will from the government to ensure the peace returns to the country. Why is this so?
Well, we are very committed to make sure that peace is realized. Even us, we are not even waiting for a revitalization forum. My president declared a national dialogue. We are dialoguing ourselves, so we reconcile and we build our country by bringing peace first to the people of South Sudan and reconciling it so that we have peace. South Sudanese, actually, they belong to South Sudan. They don't belong to the region or to the international community. We ourselves, we are the one to bring peace. Concerning the case of James Gadet, you know, judiciary is independent anywhere in the world. And we want to make sure that the due process of law
is it. The judiciary in South Sudan is not as independent as the government would want people to believe, and that the judiciary always succumbs to the whims and caprices, the opposition says, of President Salva Kiir Mayardit.
You are actually even forgetting the person that you are talking to. I was actually charged with treason. And then I was acquitted by the same judiciary. So judiciary is independent. James Gadet will use all the legal means to get himself free. And then it will be brought to the president for clemency, if you wish so.
That's Ezekiel Gapkwot, South Sudan Minister of Petroleum, speaking with VOA's Peter Kuloti from Juba earlier yesterday. South Sudanese political analyst says the government and the opposition groups must compromise on issues of governance and security sector reforms. A policy analyst at the Juba-based SAD Institute says, though the parties to the high-level revitalization forum did not sign a deal, they should build on few gains they achieved so far. Nebel Biajo has more for VOA from Juba.
Niall Tidmamer is a senior policy analyst at the Juba-based SAD Institute. He says Phase 2 of the IGAD High-Level Revitalization Forum ended without an agreement because both the government and opposition groups were not willing to compromise.
What we could see is that each party came with their own predetermined positions about what they wanted, and I'm sure through the negotiations, some of them actually modified their positions. But there were some of their bottom lines that were not acceptable to each of the parties, and that's why eventually they were not able to make any deal.
Simon Monojo is an associate professor in the Department of Sociology at the University of Juba. He says the government's position on expanding the currently 400-member parliament and the executive branch to accommodate opposition members is not realistic.
If they are really genuinely concerned with the plight of the people of South Sudan, then they must go back next time to compromise on those points of disagreement, which is governance and the arrangement, security arrangement. The IO needs also to step down on some of the demands about the security arrangement, completely dismissing the SPLA and forming a new government. The government needs also to come up with a new restructuring of the security sector reform, particularly the SPLA having been dominated by particular one ethnic group.
Titmamer says, instead of dismantling institutions, the parties should focus on making genuine reforms.
The opposition has been demanding dismantling the institution and starting afresh. I don't think it is realistic in any situation. No matter how bad something is, especially in terms of institutions, you have to maintain the semblance of institution that you have. But what you need to focus on first is to design standards on which you now can now put in place whatever you want.
Monoja says the parties must also include the views of South Sudanese citizens about the type of government they want in order to avoid more conflict in the future.
There are views now coming up in this national dialogue seem to reflect the view, the opinion of the simple person that particularly, for example, in Yei, people demanded federal system. Now, broadly, why don't the government in the peace talks agree on federal system?
The United States, the United Kingdom and Norway, commonly called the Troika countries, released a statement on Friday calling on the warring parties to create a conducive environment for peacemaking. The statement says, fighting while talking is unacceptable and cannot be tolerated. The Troika stressed that the parties must make good on their promises to implement the agreement on the cessation of hostilities signed last December. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biadru in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, hundreds are admitted to Bor Hospital after attending a private function over the weekend. Find out more on this story after this break.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Did you have any fears when you were a child?
Yes, because sometimes I have bad dreams and also I do fear elderly people.
Never wanted to lose my grandmother at that time, and she's the only one that can understand my situation. Besides, I no one else.
I was scared of masquerades, masked men, monsters, all those things. I was scared of them.
From fire, and then also elders. They used to tell me, like, you know, don't play with your elders. Yeah, I used to fear my elders, and then also fire. I don't used to come near fire. Next where there is fire, I don't come next to it.
Yes, as a kid, I was afraid of the dark. Every time there was darkness, I was afraid. I think generally most kids are afraid of the dark.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. More than 400 people, including many children, have been admitted to Bor Civil Hospital for what health workers are calling suspected food poisoning. Nurses say all patients admitted at the hospital ate food at a private function on Saturday. Manyang David Mayar has this report for VOA from Bor.
The emergency ward at Bor State Hospital is packed with hundreds of patients
with some sleeping on the ground due to lack of beds. Health officials say the patients are vomiting and passing watery diarrhea. Many look physically weak with dry lips. Nurses like Moses Gak put most of the patients on a drip to try to rehydrate them.
Well, we start to receive a group of patients this evening at around 6 o'clock, and they came with the symptom of diarrhea and vomiting, plus fever. We think that it maybe is a food intoxication, but that has to be confirmed by a laboratory.
Medical workers here say all those vomiting and passing watery diarrhea at an event inaugurating a private four-story building at Marol Market in Bor Saturday afternoon. The health workers say a few hours after eating, many became sick and sought treatment at the hospital. Gak says by Sunday evening, the hospital wards were filled to the capacity. Achol Panchol is one of the patients at Bor Hospital. Speaking in Dinka, she says she ate okra, kisra, bread and meat at the private function on Saturday.
I felt difficulty in breathing, and then I started to vomit and pass watery diarrhea. And when I tried to stand up, my legs just trembled.
Panthum Cholriak is the owner of the private building where the inauguration was held. Riak says he doesn't know exactly what caused the illness, but he regrets what happened.
Yeah, for me, I'm thinking, I don't know what is going on. So we have been happy all together, and this one happened to me. It's not good. Yeah, that one we can leave it in a good hand.
Governor of Jonglei State, Philip Aguirre, ministers and lawmakers attended the event, but none of them have reported feeling ill. Abraham Dengmayen, director of administration at Bor State Hospital, says the hospital does not have the equipment to test for food poisoning, but is making arrangements to send samples to Juba for testing.
Then we'll wait for the reports so that exactly we know what is the real cause of this problem. Is it food poisoning or is it another problem?
Officials estimate up to 2,000 people attended the private event. No deaths have been reported so far. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayar reporting from Bor.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Average Zimbabweans turn out today to commemorate the life of the country's longtime opposition leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, ahead of his burial expected tomorrow. Sebastian Mwofu has this report for VOA from Harare.
Those are thousands of supporters of the Movement for Democratic Change singing as the body of their late party leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, arrived at a square in Harare. They say the struggle will continue. One of them was 37-year-old Chaimani Mataka, who spoke of the effort to unseat the ruling ZANU-PF party.
I'm here because the struggle will never be the same again without Morgan Tsvangirai. And I so wish that if we unite as a party, we bring a united front, which must manage to remove ZANU-PF. We remove this tyranny government, which is now being led by Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Tsvangirai died in South Africa on February 14 after a two-year battle with colon cancer. The opposition has been hit by disunity as various members fight to head the MDC. Acting leader Nelson Chamisa told Mourners Monday that an MDC victory in the expected mid-year elections would be befitting tribute to Tsvangirai.
The only tribute we can give to the president is the tribute of a vote. Let's give somewhere the tribute of a vote.
He says, then we change the country. We can assure you of immediate positive changes and good times. We are not like ZANU-PF, which takes forever to bring positive changes to the country. The ZANU-PF party has dominated Zimbabwean politics since independence in 1980, with until recently former President Robert Mugabe at the helm. Current Zimbabwean President Emmerson Mnangagwa took the helm in November after Mugabe was forced to resign under pressure from the military. Despite the current wrangling in the MDC, Chamisa is expected to be the one to lock horns with Mnangagwa in this year's polls. Tsvangirai was a charismatic, determined politician who faced off repeatedly with Mugabe and the ZANU-PF, eventually entering into a coalition government for several years after the violent disputed elections of 2008. On Sunday, Mnangagwa described the late opposition leader as a, quote, brave man, unquote. Zimbabwe's Air Force flew Tsvangirai's body to his rural home about 250 kilometers southeast of Harare ahead of the planned burial Tuesday. Kenyan opposition leader and former Prime Minister Raila Odinga is among those the Movement for Democratic Change said would be attending Tsvangirai's funeral. It is not clear what Tsvangirai's passing will mean for the party's fortunes, but many say a leadership struggle in the MDC would greatly enhance the ruling ZANU-PF's chances of winning again. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
That report by Mofu from Harare brings us to the end of our show for this Monday. We now leave you with a peace song by unknown South Sudanese musician who does not want his name to be mentioned for fear of government reaction. We have been listening to unknown musician with that peace song. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Would like to know what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.